Well, you know, I want to minister this morning on I just kind of titled this because as I was, you know, seeking the Lord on what to minister this morning, and kind of was stirring on the inside of me, and so I titled this message, Why Church? Why Church? And of course, we understand that we are the body of Christ. We are the church. Without us in here, this is just an empty building. And but we do have a place where we meet together, amen, and we call that a church. And so, you know, church is far more important than what many people think. And it's far more important to you and your family. And if it wasn't, then we wouldn't even have no churches. But we do have churches, amen. And so I'm going to kind of go in some steps, and not steps really, but kind of as the Lord led me in this. And I know there's a whole lot more reasons why church than what I'll be able to even get to this morning. But anyway, I want to talk about a few that's very important, and they're all very important. And the first reason we are to be in church is to obey God, to obey God. And because Hebrews 11:25 says this, and I just want to read one scripture over here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. And the Amplified Bible that says, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. The day approaching, he was talking about the day of Jesus is drawing near. And we know that Jesus is drawing very near. Now, if you don't believe Jesus is coming back, then that's not going to bother you a whole lot. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back soon. And people, if you're not careful, people say, I've heard that all my life. Well, you know, I really haven't heard it all my life, but I've heard it all my Christian life. And because I don't know if it had mattered to me when I was running around wild child or not. If they had told me he was coming, it wouldn't have probably mattered to me. And but now it matters. And so he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, church is a place where you get to hook up with people of like precious faith. Amen? And we're all believers, and we're all family, whether we believe it or not. Do y'all know that we're family? And it don't matter. We got a couple here from California. Is that correct? Y'all come from California to visit somewhere in my head? Did you know that they're believers? We're brothers and sisters to them. They live all the way in California. And, of course, my nephew and niece, they're sitting back behind them, and they're working in California. And so they're just in for the weekend, I guess, or for the week. And so, you know, no matter where we are, we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I believe God always wanted us to be able to assemble together with believers. And that's why he told us not to forsake it, because it's important to us to be a part of it. The Message Bible says this in verse 25. It says, not avoiding worshiping together, as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Now, spurring may not mean much to anybody unless you've ever rode a horse with spurs. You've ever got on a horse with spurs? You know, you kind of spur them on. You know, you usually use spurs on a horse. It's a little bit, actually, sometimes you train them with them so they got that touch and stuff like that. But I'm telling you what, sometimes when you try to spur people on it, instead of helping them be obedient, it causes them to be irritated. And if you know what horses do, in fact, I went to a horse sale in Stephenville, Texas. I actually bought a horse over there, and I went in there, and they had this fine looking horse come in there, and man, they would pump that horse up, and he was doing good. And they brought that, you know, they usually get a lot of times the people that work there to ride the horse in to show the horse off. And so they come in, that horse bucked, and it kept bucking. The owner was sitting about right behind me, and they said, does this horse normally done that? She said, he's never rode with spurs. It was because he was spurring him on. It was irritating him instead of encouraging him. And sometimes, you know, when you start encouraging people and you say, well, God says don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together sometimes. If you're not careful, you'll just get irritated at the preacher. He just wants us in church. God just wants you in church. How am I reading the scriptures? I said, I read the Bible. It's not a matter of saying, well, you know, he just wants, I want you in church. I wish every member of this church came to church. Well, if we couldn't all get in here if all the members covered up one time, but we could take turns. The thing about it is, God, there's a reason for being in church, right? And another translation says, you should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming, which is the day of Jesus' return, and we know it soon, so we're to be encouraging each other. And you know, I thought about this. Let me go over to Psalms real quick. Psalms chapter 122. Psalms 122, and I could let her do it up there, but I'm going to go ahead and pull it up. Psalms 122, let's see. Verse 1. This was a psalm of David. David said this, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Did you know going to church ought to be a glad time? Huh? Listen, church ought to be fun. Am I right? Church ought to be a time where we get excited, where I get to go to church. Why? Because we are to expect something to happen every time we go there. Gets exciting, don't it? Praise God. It's kind of like what Linda was talking about Parker a while ago, that when she shouted out hallelujah when he hit that home run. And, you know, the thing about it is that was only one of four. He hit four home runs in that game all the way to the fence. And one of them was almost in the air to the fence. And the thing about it is he's 8 years old, and she got so excited. And the thing about it is we look forward. Here's what I look forward to going. I've looked forward to going to see a winning team. Amen. Don't you? Yes. Well, I'm on a winning team. And you're the winning team I'm on. Yes. Come on, somebody help me. Amen. I like looking out at a congregation that's on a winning team, and they are the winning team. Yes. Right? We win. I said, we're winners. Somebody just say it with me. I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Praise God. I've always been, and don't nobody, all you baseball fans in here, and I know I got a bunch of them in here, so I sure don't want to lose half my congregation by what I'm saying. The thing about it is, I used to not like baseball at all. Y'all don't bother you, does it? I mean, really, it don't. I mean, I didn't like baseball. In fact, the first time somebody, had a guy in the church, he asked me one time, he said, Pastor, would you like to go to the Rangers baseball game with me? And my mind said no, but my mouth said yes. And I thought he was going by himself, so I didn't want him to go by himself. So he had some tickets, and so I said, I'll go with you. He said, well, I'm going to pick my dad up. And here's what went through my mind. If I'd have known your daddy was going, I wouldn't have went. Because I don't care about watching baseball. I didn't care if it was a Rangers game or what. But I tell you what, he took me to that Rangers field in Arlington, and I walked in there and I thought, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. But I didn't know who the team was. Everybody was wearing their shirts. They had their bats and they had their gloves. I'm thinking, well, what is this? Did I come underdressed or what? I don't have my glove. I don't have my bat, and I don't have my shirt on. I don't have my cap. And there's going in there. If you think about that, they went to that game. Now, why do you go to a baseball game and carry a glove? You want to catch a ball. Right? And it didn't matter if they was at the top. They have a glove like. Huh? They was expecting to catch something. They was looking to catch something. They was looking forward to something. And they go to that game expecting to get their money's worth. I guarantee you that much. And so, you know, going to church, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I don't believe David went to a boring church. Do you? I found this out. Church, help me, Jesus, say this where it may be good. Church is as boring as the people make it. You don't have to say, ouch, oh me, look at somebody, don't punch nobody. See, excitement begins with us. expectation begins with us. When we go in the house of God, we are to be expecting. You know, you're to go in there. Somebody, here's what your attitude ought to be. I'm going to church today. Somebody's going to get blessed. It might as well be me. Huh? If somebody's going to get healed, it might as well be me. If somebody's going to get blessed in whatever from farm and fashion, it might as well be me. Amen? Yeah. You know, when things start happening, then you start saying, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. Amen. In Psalms 84. Whoops. I'm going to let you, Junior, punch that. Psalms 84:10. You just punch that up for me. Psalms 84:10. The psalmist said this, "For a day in your courts," and one translation said, "a day in your temple is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." I'm telling you, he was excited. He said, "I'm just proud to be here. Just glad to be here." I like it when our greeters out there stand at that door. They're just a doorkeeper watching over the gate. They're just excited to be there. And I'm glad they're excited to be there. The Olivers aren't here. And I don't know who the different ones are at that door. But I tell you what, when they walk in that door, that's usually going to be their first impression of what the rest of them are going to be like. They look at you and said, "Hi, welcome, come on in, go sit down. Wherever you want." I'm telling you, friendliness is important in church. Am I right? Man, if you ever been to a church, I've had people tell me this is the friendliest church we've ever been in, and others say that's the most rudest church I've ever been in. I'm thinking, how can it be both ways? Huh? I always say this about church. I said, if you're looking for something wrong, you'll find it. If you're looking for something right, you're going to find it. Amen. It's all in what you're looking for when you walk in. Amen. And so church is a place that God has established. He has come up with it, not us. I mean, I've had people tell me I can just worship God under a tree. I can too. I got a big oak tree in my yard and I do. But that don't substitute the church for that. Right? Because listen, if I didn't have church, I couldn't look at y'all's wonderful faces every Sunday morning. Really? So he said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to spend 1,000 days. It's just a day in the house of God is better than 1,000 in wickedness and out in the world. Amen? The second reason we are to come together into church is to praise and worship God. Is to praise and worship God. Psalms 34. Look over there, if you will. Psalms 34. How many enjoy our praise and worship? Amen. We got a great praise and worship team, and I'm so glad for it. You know, David was a psalmist, and actually the book of Psalms, David wrote many of the Psalms, and he was a harp player. He played the harp. And so and he sang, and as he ministered, did you know when he had ministered to Saul, and Saul had a demon that came upon him when he refused to obey God, and next thing you know, there's a spirit that attached itself to Saul's life that tormented him, and he would call for David, and David start playing that harp and worshiping God and praising God. Do you know that spirit would leave him? There's something about an anointing that brings deliverance in people's lives. And so when you have a anointed praise and worship team, and we do, And it makes a big difference. David says this in Psalms 34, verse 1. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He says, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad." Notice what he said in verse 3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." So he's talking about a group of people. Hey, you don't invite somebody to worship God with you if it's just you. You invite a group of people. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Isn't that why we come together? We come together to magnify God together. Magnify, the word magnify is to make large. To make large or to literally blow up or make it bigger. And, you know, you can't make God no bigger than he is. I don't care how much you sing or how much you pray or how much you study or how much you worship. You're not going to make God no bigger than He is. But I'm telling you, when you start magnifying God, He'll start becoming larger in your life. I said, He'll start becoming larger in your life. You need to view God as bigger than any of your situations or problems that you ever have dealt with in your life. God is bigger than sickness, bigger than disease. He's bigger than poverty and lack. He's bigger than any circumstance or situation in your marriage or your family. He's bigger than any of those things, but you got to view Him as that. And when you're worshiping God, what magnifying God does, it takes the focus off of you. It takes the focus off your problem. It takes the focus off your situation, and it gets your focus on the greater one, the mightier one, knowing that, listen, if I'll turn this over to God, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can even ask or even think. And so when we begin to praise and worship God, we understand there's an atmosphere created. Have y'all ever noticed when there's praise and worship going on and it's anointed by God and people are really entering into it, then there's an atmosphere being created? That's why people will come to church, and we used to have people all the time come in here and said, I could just stay here all day. Why? In that presence. What created that presence? What created that presence is the fact that we came together in one mind and one accord with one purpose. We came here to worship God, to praise God, and we didn't come here trying to find out what's wrong with anybody else. We just come here to get fixed what's wrong with us. And worship God and praise God. And God begins to minister. And what it does, it begins to prepare our hearts for the Word of God and what God's about to say and what God's about to do. So, you just got to the place where, I just really like going to church. I love going to church. That's kind of like David. I was glad. I'm just glad. In 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. Now I'm going to let Junior go there also. He can save me a lot of turning in this thing. It says, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, that the Lord, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Next. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. For the glory, when did it happen? When they begin to sing and when they begin to worship, when they became one. Listen, when we're singing together, we become one. Have you ever heard people singing? They're in harmony together, and it makes a beautiful sound when they're in harmony. But you throw a disharmony in there, you can hear it. I'm not looking at the singers because y'all sing wonderfully. Don't think I'm saying that. But the thing about it is when they started, all came in and started singing and worshiping God. See, we got to bring something to the house. We got to give something to God. We can give Him our praise and worship. Remember what I said earlier? If you didn't come here to give anything to God, then you didn't come here to receive anything from God. And so I'm telling you something, when you give of yourself and when you begin to praise and worship God, listen, I've never been one that could sing worth a darn, but I tell you what, when time to praise and worship God, I'm opening my mouth and I'm singing. Amen. Amen. Why? Because it's what God created us to do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You said, you're talking to me. Well, I don't know who I'm talking about because I can't see who's singing and who ain't. I'm in the front row. Huh? I've heard people that can't sing. It don't bother me. Well, so I don't want to bother nobody. Listen, if they're bothered, they'll move. Anyway, just give y'all a heads up. And if they're sitting in the wrong, different seat next time you come, you'll know they love you. Come on. We can't use excuses like that to stop the flow from us. That's why He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And when they all got together in one mind and one accord, I tell you what, God, how many knows what His glory is? It's His presence, His power, and His goodness. I'm telling the goodness and the presence and the power of God filled that house when they began to sing and they began to worship and they began to praise God. In Psalms 150, that's all the way, that's the last book in the Psalm, and I'm going to read this whole thing to you. It's 6 verses. It says, praise God. First of all, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Where are we at? Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. We don't have one of them yet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. I think JT's got that down pretty good. You know, it talks about the musical instruments in there, and most time we're not going to be praising Him with all those at home. You may have a radio on or something like that. But He said, we come in here and we get to have the joys and the blessings of having people that is anointed to play these musical instruments and lead us in the high praises of God. He said, praise Him on these musical instruments. He said, and then it says in verse 6, let everything. Everybody say everything. We could throw in there everyone. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So He wants us to praise God together. Amen. Praise God. You know, praising is not just singing and worshiping. Praising just thanking God, giving glory to God, just telling God, I appreciate You so much. I thank You for what You've done and what You're doing in my life. And I'm telling that is the Bible says that is continually off the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. That's in Hebrews 13 there. Hebrews 13, 15, I believe. And so the thing about it is God wants us to come to church and to praise and worship God. Now look at Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. I tell you what, I fell in love when I got with church when I got saved. Wow. And I tell you what, when I went to church, first time, a few times I went to church, it freaked me out. Anybody ever been to a church that got freaked out? Been a little country boy that never knew anything about Jesus, didn't know God, wasn't raised in church or nothing like that. And all, of all the churches my wife had to start going to, it was a Holy Ghost one, tongue-talking one. She could have eased me into it somehow. I tell you, the first time I went to church, it was just right over on the other side of town over here. It was the Groesbeck Christian Fellowship. And I went to that church, and I was in there, and I had been born again up to that point. I'd asked Jesus into my heart and got saved, and of course, she started going with her mother, and she went there, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting in that service, and I'm just sitting there kind of scared, kind of wondering what's going on here, and all of a sudden, somebody gave a message in tongues. My hair stood up on the back of my head, and I was thinking, oh, my God, what is that? Too scared to look around. Don't want to look and say, what the heck? Too scared. And all of a sudden, an interpretation of tongues. And you know what I was thinking? Now, which way did I get in here? Where was that door at? I'm about ready to get out of here. Huh? And then I went back. Because there was something about it that was drawing me. Huh? I guess the scaredest I got in church was in Mahia, Texas. Wasn't because you guys were there. It wasn't scary. But it because we went to an Assembly of God service one night. And there was this evangelist there from North Carolina. He was an Indian guy. I don't remember what his name. I wish I could remember his name. I was just going to say Billy, but I wasn't sure. So if y'all know anybody that's a preacher by the name of Billy, let me know. I'm just kidding. And so we went into that church service, and as good Christians, I was like Josh back there sitting on the back. He almost made it to the back. I'm just picking on Josh. But I'd always go to the back of the church, you know. The safest place to be in church is in the back, they thought. And so this guy gets up there and he starts preaching. I went with Ed and Dorothy, went her mom and dad. We went there, we sit on the back. I think it was one pew before the back. And we're sitting there. Some of y'all heard this story, but I just think it was, you know, it scared me and it made an impact at the same time. And I'm sitting on that back row, and this guy was wild. I'm talking about he was wild. Have anybody ever been to a wild preacher service and got a little nervous, like, oh my God? And he took his shoes off in that service and had his socks on. And he'd walk down the aisle, and I'm not this limber, so I'm sure not gonna throw my foot up there, but he'd throw his old foot up on their shoulder. Now I went to judgmental mode. I become the judge of that preacher. And I started, now I'm not talking this out, but I'm sure thinking it. I'm glad I don't know everybody's thoughts when I'm sitting in here preaching. And my thoughts was going, that ain't right. I said, that ain't right. You don't go throw your nappy foot up on somebody's shoulder. I mean, good Lord, don't do that, man. That's wrong. And he had a microphone with a cord on it. You got wireless now. And he started walking down that aisle. And here's why I went into prayer mode. I started praying, Lord, don't let that cord reach back here. Lord, don't let him get up here. Oh, please, God. I was frantic. And he's walking down there. I said, God, don't let him come. Don't let him go. And about this far before he got to me, he run out of cord. You know what I did? Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He run out of cord. Now, he could have thrown it down, but he didn't. He held on to his mic. He held on that mic. He walked back up, preached the whole service and all. At the end of the service, he looked back there, hey, you. And I did what y'all would have probably done. Who's he talking to? He said, yeah, you. I said, what? Me? He said, yeah, come up here. Oh, my gosh. Help me, Jesus. I never had panic attacks, but I think it was trying to get on me. And so I bet I walked up there like a whipped pup. Want to say, yes, sir? Are you going to put your foot on my shoulder? And this guy started prophesying to me. And he started prophesying a calling on my life. And started telling me what God had in store for me. He didn't know people from Adam. He didn't know I was scared. He anointed me with oil, prayed over me. And he missed it. I don't know what he's talking about. We were brave enough to go back the next night. Sat in the same seat. We knew how far the card went, you know what I'm saying? We knew where the card would reach. But at the end of the service, he said, hey, you. I was like, me? Again? Oh, no, what did I do now? He said, this time bring your wife. So he came up there, and Jason, he took a bottle of oil, and he didn't go a little dabble, do you? He poured it on our heads. It was running down our faces. And I'm thinking, good Lord, have mercy on our souls. And he started prophesying over us again and started telling us what God had for our lives. And when he got through, I got home and I said, that man missed it. That's not true. I said, Linda, I can't even eat in front of your parents. I'm so shy. I can't talk in front of nobody. I can't do all that stuff like that. He says, I'm called to preach. I can't preach. I'm not called to preach. He just flat out missed it. So I went and sat down with my pastor. And I said, listen, this guy prophesied over me. He prophesied. He told all them things to me. And I said, I don't feel like it's true. I don't feel like it's right. And all he said was this. He said, Randy, you will know. You will know. And I'm telling it wasn't too far from there. God started showing me in dreams and visions, me preaching. And I started thinking, it almost was a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? It didn't bring comfort to my heart. But I'm telling you, I finally, you know, I didn't know I didn't do all the things, went stuff. And anyway, you know where, can I tell you where all that happened at? In church. It happened in church. It happened because I went. If I had no, you know, we don't know why we went to that service that night, but God did. See, there's times that you walk into the house of God. I've had people tell me before, they said, God told me to be in church this morning, and when I came, I got a word. What if they'd have missed that? I said, what if they'd have missed that? Did you know, Lord, I can tell you this, and you know this for our truth, that you can never duplicate a service? It'll never be duplicated. Never. So what's done in this service will never be done again in another one. Amen? And so church is so important. And so if we're going to be in church, we're to have enjoy being there. And anyway, where did I tell y'all to go? Matthew 18. I'm sorry, I kind of went on a rabbit trail right there. Verse 19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You know who's in the midst of us right now? Jesus. The Holy Ghost. Right in the prayer. You say, how do you know that? Because of what he just said. Do I have more than one or two or three are here in the name of Jesus? Yeah. Well, then we got a greater one in here with us. Amen? So God says, listen, when you come together in my name, he said, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be right there with you to help you, to encourage you, to bless you, to heal you, to deliver you. Amen? The third thing we come to church for, we come to church to hear the Word of God. We come to church to hear the Word of God. So we're to come here with an open ear. Jesus said, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches. So we come to hear, open our ears, and listen up. And I want you to open, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. I know I won't get through with this morning, so I got baptisms this morning. I'm looking to see if they're here. There's Emily, right over here. We got, yeah, we're going to baptize this morning. Praise God. And so, it says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4, we come to church for to obey God. We come to church to praise and worship God. We come to church to hear the Word of God. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus told the devil. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Talking about Jesus. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For, here's why he gave them, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The whole purpose of us having the fivefold ministry is for our growth, our edification, or our maturity. Amen? Now, you can listen to preaching. You can hear preaching anywhere you want to hear. You can turn it on nearly any radio. You can you can even get Alexa to read the Bible to you at night. You can get all kinds of preaching any way you want. But listen, there's something about being present in the house of God that's different. You're in the atmosphere of it. Your being there in it. It's important. God knows it's important. You know, I've had people tell me before, TBN is my church. Well, that's wonderful, but if you need somebody, when are they going to come? Then most likely not. Huh? You know, here's the deal. As a pastor, and I'm a pastor and been for 30 some odd years, and been pastoring and love, you know, most of the time I love it. More than not. And it has nothing to do with anybody. It's just the fact that sometimes, you know, preachers come under attack just like everybody else. And sometimes I don't know that they might not suffer because you got so many things going on. Paul said all the things he went through, not even including all the things he goes through from the church. And so he had a battle in some things and such as that, which, don't get me wrong, I love pastoring a church and I love pastoring Word of Life Family Worship Center. I love it. When I say that, I'm not lying. And the thing about it is so many times, now you know you're here, but I have people come and they'll say, you know, Word of Life is my church, but they're never here. They never come. They never come to church, but Word of Life is their church. I am their pastor. I don't mean to be rude, but I can't pastor somebody that don't come. How can that happen? How does that work? You can't. Why? Because the whole purpose of coming to church is to be edified, to be built up, to be encouraged, to grow, to mature, to get out of a childhood stage into an adult stage. Amen? And the thing about it is, listen to me. Let me just say this, and y'all, I'm not talking to you, but listen, your relationship with God is between you and God. Not me and you. You and God. And the thing about it is, God wants the best for every one of our lives. He wants us to have the most blessed life ever. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to be so blessed financially, physically, whatever the situation, He wants us to be blessed. And I'm telling you, He put in His book for us to have a place where we can come join together, hook up together, hear the Word of God, and grow together in God. And so as pastors, you know, and me as a pastor, I try to bring these different men in here. And I bring some great speakers into this church. Great speakers. Why? Because we can't all just run off and go everywhere. But He says we need them to grow. And so church helps in the atmosphere. And also church is like a covering over our lives. A covering over our lives. That we have that church. We have a family. We have a church home. Amen. We have a body. You know, you are to be able to talk to anybody in this church, if you're a member of this church, and they're to pray for you, encourage you, build you up. And whatever needs to be done in your life that they can come along with you and build you up and help you. Listen to me. There's times that if it wasn't for God, there's been times that what would I have done without God, without a relationship with God, without knowing God? What would I do without a church family? What would I do without you guys? I mean, we've been there with Linda with that brain tumor. You know, we needed our body. We needed this church, and you was there with us and helping us and praying for us and believing God with us. Listen, that's important for every person to have that kind of a body that when you call somebody, we're going to pray for you. We're going to stand with you. We're going to believe with you. We're going to be there for you. Amen? And so church is important. It's very important. Let me read a couple more and I'll quit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise you, Jesus. Where did I tell you? 2 Timothy? Let me see if I can get there. I'm in 1st. That's why the Scripture is so important. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Verse 16, 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us equipped. Man, we need to know about our armor. We need to know about the steadfastness of God. We need to know about the love of God. We need to know about the healing God, the providing God, the God of peace, the God of joy, our sanctifier, our righteousness. We need to know all those things. Just jump right over to chapter 4 in verse 1. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. This is what he's telling Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's what he was telling Timothy. He was telling him, preach the word of God, because there's going to be a day that people's not going to want to hear the truth. And we're living in that day. We're in that day right now. That people's turning from the truth. They want to believe that, you know, God overlooks everything. And that's not true. By us knowing the truth causes us to walk in freedom. What Jesus said in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we come to church to hear the word of God. We're to come like they go to the Rangers game, go in there with their glove and their bat. And listen, well, leave your bat at home, because if you got a bat, you're going to knock something away. Leave your bat at home, but bring your glove. Amen. And we're going to catch something that's going to change our lives and help us forever. Amen. Let me tell you a couple of more things. I'm not going to preach on these. I'm just going to tell you, you can be thinking about them. And then I'm going to close. We come together for fellowship. We come together for fellowship. First, fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with God. Second of all, with one another. Proverbs 27:17, the Amplified says, just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other. We need friends. We need godly friends. Friends who love Jesus. People who will encourage you and help you. A friend that will love at all times. Amen? The fifth thing we come to church, listen to this, this will get your goat. We come to church to bring our tithe. Malachi says, bring all your tithe to the storehouse. We come to bring our tithe. And in giving, of course, Malachi, bring all your tithes into the storehouse and prove me now in this, if I'll not open the windows of heaven to pour a blessing, there's not even room enough to contain it all. I'm telling you, God wants to bless your finances, just like He wants to bless your life and your family. Number six, I'm not taking time on all that, I should. We come to church to pray. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer, a place to pray. Amen? And so there's so many things we could look and say, what is the benefit of church? I don't believe God when He set Sunday aside, which the Sabbath day aside for rest. I don't think He meant for it to be a time of boredom. I think He meant it was to be a time for you to rest and refresh your souls and your spirits. And come into the presence of God and just love God. I don't believe God intended for church to be a waste of our time. He wanted it to be the best of your time. The best of your time. And so, you know, when we go to church, we're to say, well, you know, I'm going not because I feel like I have to. I'm going because I get to. And my family needs church. I just did took part in a dear friend of mine's funeral. That he passed away last Saturday morning. I just visited with him on Friday morning, and visited with him, talked to him, and we sit out there. And he was dealing with some issues, and which we'd been praying for him and such as that. And we talked to him, And he was doing good, feeling good, and things were going good. And then I found out later that he had died on Saturday morning. And went to be with Jesus because he knew Jesus. He was a part of our church for a good while till he moved off. And the thing about it is one of his sons, well, both of his sons, which they just, you know, one's supposed to graduate college in May. And the other one, he works in Bryan, but he lives around here. And he come and visit with me the other day, and he said, he told this to me. He said, "Man, I got to get my kids in church. I need to get my kids in church." He said, I work Sundays and I work Wednesday nights. He works in Bryan College Station. He's a manager over a restaurant. And he said, "But I'm just going to change my schedule because I know it's important that I get my kids in church." And I said, "Well, it is." And I don't know if it was because of the funeral, because I don't know what Lord dealt with him about, but I'm telling you something. Every Christian is dealt with every Sunday about church. I can almost guarantee you about church. It's not to ruin your Sunday. It's to make your Sunday better and your life better. Amen. Isn't God good? That's why when you, hallelujah, it's Sunday again. I remember a guy coming to our church, got saved. He was so excited. Oh my God, he was excited. He said, "I wish we'd have church 7 days a week." Amen. And after a while, I just wanted to say, "Why don't you just come to the two services we have during the week? Then we'll work on the seven later." Anyway, praise God. I mean, because it gets exciting, don't it? Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you that we do have a place. And God, you have a place for everyone. This church isn't for everybody. But God, it's for the ones that you send here. It's for the ones that we reach and touch and minister to. And God, we don't consider it a light thing for anybody to come to this church. We count it an honor and a privilege because I don't believe anybody comes here by accident, by coincidence. I believe we're divinely directed by God. So, Father, I pray that as we come into church, that we'll come with a happy heart, a joyful heart, and knowing, God, you're bettering our lives. This church service today bettered us. It helped us. God, we're going to have a great Sunday. We love you so much. And God, even if I wasn't pastor of Word of Life, I'd be a part of Word of Life. I appreciate you for this body, for these families, for these young men, these women, these ladies, and these children, these youth, these kids. God, we want to impart something into their lives that will change their lives, to make their lives better, to make living worth living, and a joy to live. God, not wanting just, I'm just ready to check out. I'm ready to go. I wish Jesus would come now. No. Even though we're excited about that Jesus, but you want us to live. You came that we may have life and have it in abundance till it overflows. God, I pray for joy in people's life in this church. I pray for joy this morning to be released in Jesus' name. Because devil has robbed some people's joy in this house today. And I say this being restored in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for restoring joy and peace to people's lives today. God, that they don't have a bad outlook on life, but a good outlook look on life. Knowing that you're for them, not against them. And you're going to stand with them. And you're going to hold them up with your mighty hand. We love you today. We thank you for this service today. Thank you for all that's here in this house. Just lift your hands to heaven. Father, we bless you. You said we're to lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And that's what we do. We bless you with open arms, with an open heart, and an open mind. We love you, Jesus.